I'm Taylor Tarter, and this is Fastball Fantasy Baseball. Let's get into it.
Before we review the start of the season, I have to give a few shout-outs and some updates. You might have noticed I have a new intro. Thank you, Matt Telkins, for helping edit that together. I have a new logo as well, thanks to Nick Valletta. I've also set up an email account, so you can reach me for any questions, updates, or anything in between. And that's fastballfantasybaseball@gmail.com. I also want to shout out my guest last episode, Alec Mills, pitcher for the Chicago Cubs. If you missed that interview, check out the last episode. And if you want to skip to the interview, it's in the second half of the show, the second segment. I also want to take a moment to thank my listeners for tuning in. This has been a lot of fun for me, and I appreciate everyone who's tuning in. And speaking of, you can now find this podcast on Anchor and Spotify, as well as Breaker, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public. So this episode, we are going to bypass some of the statistical analysis until we have a little bit more data to review. Instead, we'll go over some of the big news of this young season and look at some players who may be out there in your league that you should be picking up and others that you should be dropping. Let's talk COVID first, in particular the Miami Marlins. The Marlins have at least 14 players and staff that are out with COVID injured list designation. This is something that I brought up with Alec Mills in the last episode. What's going to happen if a bunch of players on one team come down with the virus? And here we go. The Marlins canceled their game against the Orioles in Miami, and what I recommend is dropping any Miami players that you may have right now. Not a lot of them are going to be rosterable, but there are some pitchers that are valuable from Miami. Now, you need production in your lineups, especially in the shortened season, and any Marlins players are not going to produce since they won't be playing. You should also be aware of any of your players who have games against Miami through Sunday, August 2nd, which is going to affect Nationals players. Now, the Orioles were supposed to play Miami, and those games got canceled. However, MLB shifted the schedule, so they'll be playing the Yankees instead during the time that they were supposed to be playing the Marlins. But the Phillies were supposed to be playing the Yankees during that time. So now the Phillies are going to be off until Friday, August 31st. And, you know, this is because the Marlins outbreak happened in the Phillies away clubhouse. So if you have any Phillies players or Nats players in your lineup, just be aware of their schedule. You know, it's important to realize that the virus doesn't just impact the players that test positive. It's impacting whole entire teams as well, and some that weren't even associated with the outbreak, some that, you know, aren't even around the team that had the outbreak. Now, speaking of COVID, there are some players that are on the injured list because of the virus. They have the COVID designation. But then there's also some who are on the injured list, the 10-day injured list, for an undisclosed reason that definitely means they have the virus. Now, disclaimer that by the time this is published or by the time you're listening to this episode, some of these guys may be off the IL. So just kind of, you know, keep track. And not all of these guys are going to be rosterable, but these are some of the major players that have the designation or have a 10-day IL suspected designation. But like I said, keep track of the news, follow the news to make sure, you know, when these guys come off or when they're about to come off the designation, so you can adjust your lineups as needed. So a couple of the guys, Juan Soto, Harold Ramirez, Jorge Alfaro, those are both Miami players, Mike Moustakas, Eduardo Rodriguez, who's got a lot of upside for the Red Sox, Jose Urquidy in Houston, and Yordan Alvarez in Houston as well. Those are two guys that are have a lot of hype this year, and catchers Tyler Flowers and Travis d'Arnaud. There's also quite a few players out with disclosed injuries. Cole Hamels was signed by Atlanta and was looking good coming into the season, but he's going to be out for most, if not all, the season with a triceps injury. So it's safe to drop him at this point. He's not going to do anything significant this season. However, his injury does kind of open the door for some young arms in Atlanta. Keep an eye on Kyle Wright and Ian Anderson in particular. AJ Puck in Oakland is another player who ended up on the IL during summer camp. He's a pitching prospect for the A's that has had some really bad injury luck over the years, but he's going to get a chance to start this season, and he still may, but he's going to have a late start. He's worth keeping an eye on for sure, but I would not use a roster spot on him right now unless you have an injured list spot that you can stash him, but you don't necessarily need to. Brandon Belt in San Francisco is coming off the IL this week. He could be productive for the Giants. He had some decent background stats from last season. He's not one of my favorite fantasy players, but if you need a pretty consistent bat, you could look at him. Another Giant who's coming back this week that's worth a pickup is Evan Longoria. He was really productive last year, had excellent metrics to back it up. I would definitely say to snag him this week, especially if you need a corner outfield, a corner infield rather, or you know, if you're in a deeper league, he's a really solid option. Austin Meadows, who had a great year for the Rays last season, has been out sick, though it doesn't seem to be COVID since he's been around other people playing in simulated games and things like that. If he's on your roster, he could possibly be back sometime this week. But if you're looking for someone to fill the void, you may want to turn to some other Rays outfielders. Tutugo looks really good. Jose Martinez, Manny Margot could help fill the void there. Otherwise, if you're looking for some other outfield bats, Kyle Lewis in Seattle, young outfielder, is off to a hot start, and as well as Ian Happ of the Cubs. Luis Arraez is also a great option as an outfielder and is eligible at second base. And I could see him hitting 400 this year. Justin Verlander is another player who's out with an injury. He is out with an elbow injury indefinitely. You don't really want to hear that about a 36-year-old pitcher. So if you got Verlander, I think you... you know, this could possibly be a season ender for him. And if you're in a keeper league, I don't think that he's worth rostering to keep for next season, especially, you know, if this is a really bad injury. So I think, you know, it might be a safe risk, still a risk to drop him. But I think you are good to go if you want to drop him. Now, if you got him and you're looking for a replacement, you could look in-house in Houston and pick up Forrest Whitley. This could potentially be his time to shine. Otherwise, my recommendation is to stream pitchers. Now, honestly, if you don't have a top 30 pitcher, I'd be streaming pitchers as much as possible this season. And I'll get back to that in a little bit. And if you don't know what streaming is, I'll get into that as well. But finally, Clayton Kershaw had a flare-up of his back, which is not good. It's an issue that he's been dealing with the last few years. The Dodgers have a ton of pitching depth, so pay attention to who they have starting coming up for the rest of the week. Keep an eye on players like Dustin May, Ross Stripling, Julio Urias, and Tony Gonsolin, and Alex Wood. There are a lot of pitchers that are out either with injuries or with the coronavirus, and I had mentioned before that streaming could be a good strategy to use for this year, especially if you have some of those injured pitchers or sick pitchers. If you're not sure what streaming means, it's just dropping players and adding them for a week or a couple of weeks or a day, and then dropping them to pick up another player, so on and so forth. I think that streaming pitchers can win you your league this year. Some pitchers are not going to pitch deep enough into games for a few weeks, and so they won't be able to accrue wins or quality starts depending on, you know, what your league values. In a normal season, streaming pitchers is an effective way to accumulate stats from week to week. And in a longer season, you have a lot more sample size for pitchers so that they can adjust and improve things throughout the season, so that one bad week might not affect your overall standing by the end of September. That's a little different this year. A ballooned ERA this season could really hurt you. And my suggestion is, if you're dealing with a lot of injured pitchers, stream. Any non-top 30 pitcher on your roster that has a lousy week, drop them and pick up someone who has a good matchup for the week. So here's a few pitchers that I'd keep an eye on for streaming purposes in the upcoming week that have some good matchups. Denelson Lamet from San Diego is pitching against the Giants this week. Angels pitcher Andrew Haney has a good matchup versus Seattle. White Sox pitcher Dylan Cease has a good matchup against the Royals. Plus, Kansas City pitcher Danny Duffy and Cincy pitcher Tyler Mahle each play Detroit this week and could be good streaming targets. I'll be right back to talk hitters and closers. Similar to pitchers, it could prove to be a good strategy this year to stream batters who are starting slow. And this is really going to depend more so on your roster structure and your individual league and your type of league, you know, depending on how deep, how many league managers you have, how many teams there are. The type of scoring you use is going to affect this strategy, and you know, whether or not you're in a keeper or a dynasty league or in a single season league. But one thing you definitely want to watch this season is how batters are doing these first 2 weeks. You know, in my opinion, if you have a batter that is not producing in the first 2 weeks and they're outside of the top 50 to 70 batters, they're worthy of being dropped. And even more so if you're in a single season league with no keepers, drop them. If they're not producing, don't be afraid to let them go. Now, don't go dropping Christian Yelich, who's off to a 1-for-13 start at the plate. But if Andrew Benintendi doesn't pick it up, don't feel guilty about dropping him just because he has some name value and because experts say that, you know, he has a lot of potential. Some other widely owned batters that I'd consider dropping if there isn't a turnaround in the next couple of days or so: Starlin Castro, Wilson Ramos, JD Davis, Danny Santana, Austin Riley, Ryan McMahon, Howie Kendrick, Tim Anderson, Oakland Chris Davis, aka the good Chris Davis, Shohei Ohtani, Hunter Renfro, Malik Smith, Miguel Sano. Those are all guys that, you know, are rostered in most leagues, but you shouldn't consider it a terrible risk to drop them in a season like this if they're not gonna hit. You need players to produce, and in most leagues, you only have about 8 weeks for them to produce if you're doing playoffs, and it's only 10 weeks otherwise. A lousy 2 week start could tank your team. Remember, that's anywhere from a quarter of the season to a fifth of the season. Now, luckily, there are some good bats available. Some I've mentioned already. There are catchers available. Some good catchers available: Martin Maldonado in Houston, White Sox catcher James McCann, Sean Murphy in Oakland. Some second baseman, Cesar Hernandez, is off to a hot start in Cleveland. You know, Dodgers second baseman Enrique Hernandez is also eligible in the outfield. And, you know, for outfielders, Phil Gosselin in Philly is off to a hot start too. Could be worth a look if you need some outfield help. And if you need any other tips, rewind. And I threw some other names out there earlier. And finally, closers are always a tricky position in fantasy baseball. You never know what some managers are going to do, some major league managers, that is. A lot of fantasy players totally avoid drafting closers, and others stockpile them. There's no one winning strategy with closers, and your best bet, especially early on in the season, is to pay attention to the trends in how certain major league managers are using their relievers. It's likely that the top established closers are, you know, already taken in your league. And so if you're looking for cheap saves, you're going to have to dig through the garbage pile a bit. That's okay. There are saves out there if you need them. Some closers to keep an eye on right now and to pick up are Joe Jimenez in Detroit. He's already got a couple saves on a team that isn't likely to win a lot. And so, you know, you're gonna get a few saves out of him, but probably not a ton. Greg Holland in Kansas City seems to have the job there, with Ian Kennedy filling a more long relief, middle relief role for now. But that's something I'd keep an eye on. Otherwise, I don't really feel comfortable recommending anyone else to you at the moment, but those are some names to keep an eye on. And I do want to end with some positive player news. Mookie Betts signed a 13-year, $392 million contract with the Dodgers. Now, as long as they can afford the pieces around him, he looks to be positioned for some MVP caliber years going forwards, especially batting in front of Cody Bellinger, who could also end up consistently getting some MVP votes over the next decade. But what that deal really does is set the stage for players like Francisco Lindor and Javi Baez, Trevor Story, Chris Bryant, who are all due for big paydays in the near future, to actually get the money they deserve. Some other positive news, Carlos Carrasco won his first start this year after battling cancer and having to leave baseball last season. And the MVPs of opening weekend were 40-year-old Minnesota Twins designated hitter Nelson Cruz, who went 7-for-13 and cranked 3 home runs, scored 7 runs, and 10 RBI. And Cubs pitcher Kyle Hendricks, who pitched a 3-hit complete game shutout against the Brewers. So my last update before we wrap up is that I've activated listener support for the podcast. And basically, there's an option on whatever platform you're listening from where you can choose to donate and support the podcast if you'd like. You know, there's options for 99 cents a month donation. And, you know, it's just going to help me make future episodes, improve different features, and keep me motivated. So if you'd like, please donate, and it would be greatly appreciated. Eventually, I'm hoping to have some stickers and shirts and all kinds of stuff for my listeners, and donations like that will help a lot in doing that. So that's all for today. We'll look at some data next week as we get some more of a sample size. Remember, a couple big points from today's episode. Consider streaming pitchers going forwards. Keep an eye on Marlins opponents through Sunday and adjust accordingly depending on who is on your roster and if they're playing the Marlins, and watch pitching trends with relief pitchers. Thanks for listening.